In our lesson on follow-up, we're going to be dealing with follow-up objectives so that we know exactly what we're trying to accomplish in the lives of those people who we are involved in trying to disciple. So oftentimes we have friends or people that we really desire that they come to Christ. We are faithful in witnessing to those people, and eventually, after prayer and a lot of hard work, that person comes to a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. And then our tendency is to think, well, my work's done. But the truth of the fact is that our work has only begun. When people bring physical children into the world, they recognize that for the next 18, 20, 22, 25 years, that their work is cut out for them. To bring those children to a place of physical maturity where they can now stand on their own two feet and function as responsible citizens is a monstrous job. But the same is also true when we bring people into the world spiritually, that we can't just pat them on the back, give them a New Testament, and say, God bless you, and send them on their way. But maybe not for the next 18 to 20 to 25 years, but certainly for the next few years, our hands are going to be full in trying to bring that person to a spiritual maturity in Christ. Now, oftentimes we wish, at least in terms of our physical children, that there was some book that was written that somehow would spell out step by step by step, this is what you do and this is the way you do it, and if you do that, then it guarantees success. Now, the Bible is an adequate guide for us, but unfortunately it does not give us that step-by-step process. And not only do we need that for raising our physical children, and that book does not exist to my knowledge, we also need that same kind of help when it comes to raising our spiritual children. And I hope that tonight we are going to gain some kind of insight in how to go about following up on this new Christian. Now, one of the things that we need to recognize is that even though it is a spiritual child, we have got to be concerned for the whole man or the whole person. And I think of the passage in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, where it says, "And Jesus increased in knowledge and in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and favor with man." He increased in his physical capacities. He increased in his intellectual capacities. He increased in his spiritual as well as that social aspect of his life. And that we, as we do follow up, have got to be concerned with the developing of at least those four areas of a person's life. Now, basically, there are two kinds of follow-up. It's either done individually, one-on-one, or it's done over here with a small group, two or more people. And though it can be done in a thousand different ways, basically, there are only those two kinds. It's either individual or it's group. And it's interesting to note that in the life of the Lord Jesus, that he began with the great masses and multitudes of people, but eventually exchanged it, really, for 12 men to whom he totally gave himself. And out of that 12, there were the three that he, from time to time, called out, and that they were allowed to enter into things which the others were not. And out of the three, there was the one, Peter. And so we find in the Scriptures not only the group, but we also see the individual, man on man, kind of training that has taken place. Now, not only must we recognize that there are basically two kinds, but there are certain relationships in follow-up. And basically there are four of those. And the first one is what I'm going to call is kind of a recreational relationship in follow-up. And I think of the passage in Proverbs chapter 17 and in verse 22 where it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Now, a good person or a good parent recognize that there has got to be a mixture in the life of this individual with a certain amount of structured sort of training, but there also has got to be time for children to be children and to play and to have a good time. And yet there needs to be that other side of that relationship. But the first one does with this recreational, and we need to see that there is kind of a balance in the life of this individual. You've heard it said that all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And sometimes we can get to the place where we just so totally give ourselves to something and do not take time for that recreational, which really means kind of a recreation. And God himself said, you know, that only 6 days are you going to labor, and that seventh day is that day where we rest and we refresh ourselves and we do those things which we enjoy doing. And in this recreational, it can either be done individually, it can be done in a group, it may deal with sports or hobbies or just having people over for a picnic or a meal, but things that are fun. And as we do this, we learn to see people in a different setting. So oftentimes we're only involved with people in one kind of a situation. And when it relates itself to church, you put on a clean shirt, your good pants, you shine your shoes, and every time you come, you always have your best foot forward. But that really ain't you. And if that person thinks, well, that's that individual, he just doesn't know the other side. And somehow, if we're really going to help people, we've got to see that other side. And then the second relationship has to do with the casual. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." It doesn't mean that, you know, everything has got to be so structured. There can be kind of that casual where it's loose and informal. And it's through this that we are attempting to build a relationship with that person where we have the opportunity of helping him with his own character development as well as the practices that God prescribes for our Christian life. And in that casual sort of thing, we may get together and just share a thought out of a quiet time. We may decide to review verses together. We may share some blessing. Or I may come to that person and say, "Hey, listen, I've got a problem in this area, and I wonder if you could help me," so that he also sees that I'm a person who has needs. But the thing that we're really working for in this is that we build an honest, transparent relationship with one another. And if I'm not willing to be honest and transparent with that person, then I don't need to expect them to be honest and transparent with me. If I'm forever faking him out, he is going to be forever faking me out. And neither one of us are really helping the other. And the thing that we've got to do is create that honest where we're dealing with the real problems that we face in life, and we just simply have to recognize that we are dealing with people who have human needs. And in our approach to people, we do not want to come across so straight-laced and so moralistic that we don't do this and we don't do that and we don't do this, and so forth, where finally we just end up and people begin to drift away from us. But we need to be open with the things that they're dealing with and to try and help them not to live by my standards, but by a scriptural standard. And as people see me deal with the problems that I face in my life, hopefully it will give them hope that there are answers for their problems. And then the third has to do with structured kind of relationship. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And so somewhere there needs to be a structure in helping people to see all that Jesus commanded, that kind of line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, but we are laying a foundation upon which their Christian life is going to be built. And if that's going to happen, there's going to have to come a time and a place for Bible study and for teaching and certain disciplines that need to be instilled. Now, in this structure, it means that we've got to know exactly what we want to teach and to communicate to people, and then have it put together so that we can do that. And the stress is trying to lay the foundations of the faith with an application so that they become a part of the life of that individual. That it isn't just his head up here which is affected, but his hands and his feet. And then the last kind has to do with what I'm going to call partnership. And over in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 22, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion and laborer and fellow soldier, but your messenger who ministered to my needs." So here Paul looked at Epaphroditus and he said, "Now this is my co-worker. He is my partner. He's my laborer." And they entered into the ministry together. And when we think about that partnership, we are primarily thinking about the two of us joining ourselves together for the sake of the building of the kingdom. Now, initially, the partnership doesn't take place so much that we're more involved in the other aspect of being casual and doing some recreational and the structure, and that partnership comes more as a person grows and matures. But we don't want to wait too long. And it could very well be that we begin laying the foundations of that very early, where if I win John to Christ after he understands the assurance of salvation and the gospel and is identifying with Christ, I say, "Hey, John, why don't you come?" And the two of us will go together, and John may just sit there and watch. But he is teamed together with me as I go out into the ministry. And eventually, of course, that is what we're working, so that the other aspects kind of go away and we are more partners together in the ministry. Now, not only are there the two kinds, the individual and the group, but all of these things could be done individually or in the group. And Jesus started out where he had the large group and he worked down more towards the end of his life where he gave individual attention. And as a person grows and matures, they come to the place where we do better meeting them and helping them one-on-one. Though initially we may have to start that way. I'd love to have a group, but only one guy showed up. And you can't have two until you have one. But eventually you'll come to the place that there'll be a group of people. And that peer pressure that that group places upon people sometimes is a very good thing. Now, I also want to deal, not only is there that recreational, the casual, the structured, and the partnership, but there are basically four stages of growth. And three of those are spelled out for us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where he says, "And I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And I write unto the fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." So here he talks about three. First of all, being a young babe. That's the convert. Being the young man, where he is growing into a disciple. Being the father. And that father presupposes that he has reproduced himself, or he is making other disciples, which makes him a disciple maker. And then the fourth one is found for us in Titus chapter 1, and in verse 5 he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." And so that other, after you become a father, then the next stage of growth is probably into being an elder, where you are exercising spiritual care over those believers who are growing in their Christian faith, but the exercising of Christian leadership. So, babes are the converts. And the thing that we are most concerned about for them is trying to help them to establish a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, for the young man, the disciple, we are concerned about his commitment to follow Christ and to overcome Satan and abide in him. For the fathers, we are concerned that they are reproducing themselves in the life of that next generation. And then for the elders, that they are exercising spiritual leadership in the body of Christ. Now, as we do evangelism, we produce converts or children. As we establish or follow up on those young converts, we produce disciples, young men. Then, as we equip those young men or disciples to be able to reach out and to share their faith with other people, that produces disciple makers or spiritual fathers. And as they learn to reach out to others and help them grow and begin to exercise leadership, and we are equipping those people, then that produces those leaders of disciple makers or just plain spiritual leaders in the church. Now, how does this stages of growth relate both to the kinds of evangelism and the kinds of relationships that there are in follow-up? So let's take a look, first of all, at the children. It is best if you can get them involved in a small group. Now, again, when you're starting out in the ministry, there may be no one else. And so you are forced, whether it's wise or not, to work one-on-one, to work one-on-one. But perhaps in those early days, perhaps the best thing is a small group. because that small group exerts a certain amount of peer pressure upon those people. And by having them, you know, in a one-to-one situation, we certainly get to know them. But by having them in a group, and where they see that other people are putting priorities on things that somehow they're not putting them on, that oftentimes they will do for the group what they would not do for you or for God. And I have sat in Bible studies, you know, with a lot of guys who just, you know, if you left it to themselves, they wouldn't get the job done or their Bible study done. But because there are 10 other men who are going to sit around that table, and somehow they don't want to be the only guy in that group who does not have his work done. And so though they wouldn't do it for God or for you, but because of that peer pressure, they end up doing it. Now, in trying to help that young believer, there needs to be a certain amount of structure, and there needs to be a certain amount of recreational. Where we see that person in a different setting, I suggested to you that in the initial stage, everybody comes with his best foot forward, but that's not the real person. But you get him out here recreating, and you take him to a ball game, and you see the way he acts, whether he just kind of sits there like a phlegmatic and watches the game, or whether, you know, he's gung-ho and cheers for the team. You learn something about him. Get him out there in that playing field and rough him up a little bit and find out how he responds then, whether there's that sweet Christian spirit or whether, you know, you walk away with a black eye. You learn something about him. Get him involved, you know, in doing things where you can observe him as he really is. And if you don't, then you have a very distorted view. And so the two things that probably loom the most have to do with a certain amount of structure that needs to go in, but there needs to be a lot of recreational in there where you can see that there's a certain balance to your own life, that you're just not kind of a spiritual workaholic. And then the young man. And here, all four of these things need to come into play. There needs to be the recreational, there needs to be the structure, but to that we need to add the casual, where from time to time, you know, I just drop in and have lunch with him and see how things are going, or to call him on the phone. And, you know, it's something that wasn't planned or structured in here, but again, the thing that we're working for is that honesty and that transparency, so that we get to know him as a real individual. And then added to that needs to come some partnership, because now he needs to be reaching out and sharing his faith with other people rather than you just exhorting him to go and do it. You say, hey, why don't you come with me? And we team up together to go out and share Christ with other people. And then as fathers, at this point, there is a certain amount of maturity, and perhaps there's not as much emphasis upon the structured. And in this program, boy, I'll tell you, it just reeks with structured. And it would be nice if I were not trying to develop this course and to rewrite it, where all week long is all I had to do is be able to call and say, hey, John, you free for lunch today? And drive out and have lunch with you. Even if we have to sit there and eat in the parking lot, you know, and I bring a sack lunch and you've got your sack lunch. But we just, you know, how are things going? Are there some things I can pray for you? What are you wrestling with these days? How can I be of help? There's an honesty and a transparency. And as I become a father, why, and mature, then that structure begins to kind of break up. And it now needs to be more casual. It needs to be more partnership. But there probably needs to still be that emphasis on the recreational. and then as elders, the two major will be the casual and the partnership. That if I were the pastor of a church or I were the head of a particular, let's say, of the Sunday school department, and I've got 8 teachers out here, maybe from time to time I want to bring them together. But maybe I ought to be going along and saying, hey, how are things going for you? And what can I do that will help you? And where it's more on an individual basis rather than, always involving you in the group. Not that there can't be any group. But as you move more towards that place where he matures and it's more partnership, it's more one-on-one, it deals more with casual, it deals more with the partnership, because we are entering into the ministry together. And as a leader, I probably will serve you best helping you on a one-to-one basis. So that is the direction in which we are moving with both the kinds, where the first part is heavier in terms of group, but the longer and the more mature the individual. And then to move from the recreational and the structured more to the casual, to where we become partners or co-laborers in the gospel. Now there is one objective that we are trying to accomplish: to present this person mature in Christ. Well, what does that mean for people to be mature in Christ? And what we are really talking about is a person who is obedient to what Christ has called them to do, or God has called them to do. We can come along and put God up here. We can come and put man down here. And it's because of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross almost 2,000 years ago that man is now capable of having a relationship with God. And that relationship has got to be strengthened. And the way that we do that is by God speaking to this man here, and by this man being able to speak to God. And of course, that creates for us prayer and the Word of God, because it is through prayer that I talk to God, and God speaks back to me from His Word. Now, once that vertical relationship is established, then God wants to take me down here, and He wants to relate me to the world for which Jesus Christ died. So there is this vertical relationship and that horizontal relationship. To those people who are lost, I relate to them through my witness. To those people who are believers in Jesus Christ, I relate to them through the fellowship. And that fellowship, you remember, was made up of trying to help, at least in the early days, those young believers, the 3,000 who were converted, that they would become mature in Christ. The teaching of the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread. And so the thing that we're trying to do is to establish this individual where Christ is the very center of his life, the driving force. He is vertically related to God, and he is horizontally related to the world for which Christ died. And if you come along and just, you recognize that that in fact is that navigator wheel which you keep, seeing pop up time and time again. But that is the basic objective that you are trying to accomplish in the life of that individual. Now, as a person is a young child, the emphasis is placed here on the vertical relationship. And the thing that he needs to understand is the gospel of Jesus Christ, have assurance of his salvation, and be willing to openly identify with the person of Christ. Now, as he goes on and grows to becoming a young man and committed to being a disciple of Christ, then God is going to relate him to the world for which Christ died. He ought to be out sharing his faith. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed. He has called us and empowered us to be a witness. And so we ought to be reaching out and sharing our faith with other people. And if we do that, before long, those people are going to come to Christ, and now we need to be involved in following up as fathers, because we have reproduced ourselves in the lives of other individuals. And so here, in that disciple or that young man stage, it deals not only with developing that vertical relationship or the deepening of it, but now the sharing of his life with other people. As he becomes a follower, it has more to do not only with winning, but now the discipling and bringing those spiritual children to a place of maturity. And that person, the real emphasis is placed upon his reproduction of not just winning, but discipling them. And then eventually, as a result of winning and discipling other people, whether I like it or not, I'm going to have a group of people back here who are going to be following me, and now I need to exercise a certain amount of leadership. And though the church may not appoint me an elder, in the eyes of God, he has placed me in the position of an elder, where I am exercising spiritual care and trying to give some direction to those who are younger in Christ. Now, hopefully, with that kind of understanding, that as a young man, these are the things that he needs, or as a child, this is what he needs. As a young man, this is what he needs. As a father, this is what he needs. And as an elder or a leader, this is what he needs. And next week, we're going to pick up from there, and I'm going to try and help us to develop a syllabus that will help us in each one of these, the convert, the disciple maker, and then those who lead other disciple and disciple makers, so that it will guide you step by step with the materials that you are now learning to use.